I've chosen for our study this time one of the most beautiful of the Old Testament love stories, the story of Ruth, and the little book that bears her name, which is found in the early part of your Bible, shortly after the books of Moses, tells this story. Now, I'd like to give you a little background of it, and then tell you what I believe is the spiritual teaching. Remember that we are taking Old Testament stories, or pictures, or types, and learning from them the lessons which are brought out in the New Testament. The story opens with a short history of a family. Elimelech was the man's name, which means "my God is king." He forgot that, however. He lived in a day of anarchy and lawlessness, and he forgot that God was able to take care of him. His wife, Naomi, which means pleasant, later on when she got so far away from the Lord that she was no use to him and no help to others, she said, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara," which means bitter. All this was brought about because when the famine came in the land, they couldn't trust God, and they went down into Moab. Now, Moab was a country where the people were very wicked, and God had said that his people should not live among them. They took their two sons down there. It's a sad thing when people take their children into the world, and their two sons married Moabitish women. These two girls were named Orpah and Ruth, and when they got ready to leave the country and come back up, well, rather, when Naomi got ready to leave the country because her husband and two sons died down there, she said to her daughters-in-law, "Now you stay here, find rest in Moab," which shows how far away from the Lord she was. How could they find rest there in the heathen land in the worship of idols? But anyway, you know how Ruth answered. She said, "Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried," and so on. While Orpah turned away and went back down into heathen darkness. Then when they got into the land, there was a law in that land that poor people, and these people had lost everything, they were poverty-stricken, there was a law that the poor people could go into anyone's field and follow the reapers and pick up what was dropped and get what was in the corners of the field. And so Ruth began to do this. She began to glean in the field. And the Lord led her into the field of a very wealthy man, a prince of the family of Judah, who was named Boaz. Now, they had a law in Israel that whenever a person was left poverty-stricken and lost their inheritance, anyone who was a kinsman, a relative, and who was financially able to redeem, and who was willing to marry the widow in order to build up the family and continue the family bearing that name, that person who was willing to do all that and able to do it could become what was called a kinsman redeemer. And this Boaz did. He was interested in Ruth. He was kind to her. He showed her many kindnesses along the way. And finally, Naomi said, "You leave this in Boaz's hands. Boaz will take care of it. You just sit still, my daughter. The man will not be in rest until he has finished the thing this day." And she was right. Boaz did arrange redeem her, to get her inheritance back for her, and he married her, and so she became not only wealthy in her own right, her husband's inheritance, but she shared everything that Boaz had. Now, it's a wonderful story. It has a very happy ending. Incidentally, Ruth becomes the great-grandmother of David, the king. The spiritual meaning is much more important, of course. As interesting as these Old Testament stories might be, the main reason for them, we're told plainly in Romans 15:4 and in 1 Corinthians 10, He tells us the reason for these Old Testament stories is that we might learn the lessons that we need to learn about the Lord and His dealings with us. Now see how this case parallels our own. Ruth and Naomi were suffering as a result of a bad choice. Elimelech never should have taken them down into that country. And you and I are suffering because of the bad choice which Adam and Eve made in the Garden of Eden. They were in spiritual poverty, and that's true for us, whether we realize it or not. There's a very sad commentary on human nature in the 3rd chapter of Revelation, where he said to the people, "You say that you are rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing, but he said you are poor and miserable and blind and naked." And there are many people like that today. They think, well, I'm not so bad. I've never done anything so terrible. I don't know why you want to call me a sinner. I'm all right. Don't worry about me. I'm getting along fine. But the truth of the matter is they are in spiritual bankruptcy. We have nothing to pay. The Lord told a story about two people who needed to have their sins forgiven. And he said when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. And we have nothing that we can offer to God. We are spiritually bankrupt. Now, they return to Bethlehem, which means the house of bread, and God is calling us to come back to where there's plenty, to satisfaction in the Lord Jesus, for only He can give us everything that we need, the forgiveness of our sins, eternal life, a home in heaven. Everything that we need, He offers to give us. Now they needed a kinsman redeemer, and Christ became this for us. I'd like to read a verse or two to you in the 2nd chapter of Hebrews. This is what he says at verse 13. 13. Again, I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Now that's the incarnation, Christ coming down to this earth to take human nature. And he did it, the rest of the verse says, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Then a little later down in the chapter he says he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor or help them that are tempted. So the Lord Jesus became our kinsman redeemer. He did that. He came down here and took human nature so that he could die in our place on the cross, an answer for our sins. Now it cost Boaz some money to redeem Ruth, but it cost our Savior his life's blood to redeem us. The Lord Jesus did this in order that he might take us to himself, not only to redeem back to us our lost estate, but to give us a share in his riches, and to give us a share in his love. What this poor widow wanted was a home. She had lost her husband, she had lost her home. And Boaz takes her as his bride, and she's a happy girl sharing with him everything that he had. Now this is exactly what God offers to do for us in the Lord Jesus. He came down here to be our Savior. He had no other purpose in coming to this world but to glorify God in the salvation of sinners. But don't talk about the Lord Jesus as an example until you first of all accepted him as a Savior. Don't talk about following him until you're first of all willing for him to redeem you. And we're told in 1 Peter 1 that we are redeemed not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now what should we do? Well, the story of Ruth illustrates this. The first thing is to acknowledge our bankruptcy. Some of us are too proud to go into Boaz's field to glean. Some of us are too proud to acknowledge that we are sinners. We are too proud to own up that we need help, that we need salvation, that we need life, and we think we'll paddle our own canoes. Well, that's all very well, but you're not going to heaven in a canoe, and you can't paddle your own way there. You're going to have to acknowledge your bankruptcy. Now, God has never asked you to confess all of your sins. You couldn't remember the tenth part of them if you tried. And you don't even realize that some of the things you've done are sin. He doesn't ask you to confess all your sins. What he does ask you to do is to confess that you are a sinner, to acknowledge your need. And then he wants you to do what Ruth did, go to the kinsman redeemer. She went to Boaz, and that's where she got her blessing. It wouldn't have done any good to have gone to his reapers, some of his servants. It won't do you any good to go to a preacher or a priest or a rabbi. You've got to go directly to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now you go to Christ, not by joining the church or getting baptized, but in honest, simple faith in the Lord Jesus. You just acknowledge him as your Savior. And you just tell him that you will take him for your Savior right now. He'll hear you. He says, "As many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name." And again he said, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." And then you accept his love and his proposal. Just as Boaz said to Ruth, "I am willing to marry you," the Lord Jesus says, "I am willing to take you as my own." And you must be willing to accept him. And if you do accept him right here and now, and tell him so, the Bible gives you authority to know that not only are your sins put away, but that you have eternal life and that a home in heaven is yours, all because of the love of our kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank thee for this wonderful story, and we thank thee for our Savior who has come to mean so much to some of us. We pray that all who are listening will see that he did all this. He gave himself, gave his life to redeem them. We pray thy blessing in his name. Amen.